We begin and we open our service by singing together to the Lord's praise from the hymn on the back of the bulletin. The King of Love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. So let's stand to sing that hymn together through God's grace.
The King of Love, my Shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. Where streams of living water
Bible reading today comes from the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah at chapter 40. We'll be reading from verses 1 to 11. And let's read it together, young guys out there. Stevie's going to be talking on this chapter, or this section of scripture later on, and I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about it as well. So please do get your people or adult who's with you to help you find that chapter in your children's Bibles, and we'll read it together, and then I'm going to talk to you a wee bit about that chapter of Scripture. Okay? Have you all got it? Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 11. This is the Word of God. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I say, what will I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flower fall. But the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. Amen. And may the Lord bless to us this reading of his holy word, and may to his praise be all, to his name be all the praise and all the glory. I was wanting to have a wee talk to you young guys today. I picked this in my garden this morning. You can all see what it is, isn't it? This flower, yes. And it's a lovely flower. It's a lovely yellow flower, isn't it? It's a real beauty. It's so perfect. And so delicate. And so lovely. The thing with flowers is, you can see already, it's starting to wilt a wee bit, to droop. It doesn't last any long, does it? They bloom up, they're lovely when they're there, and then they're gone. They don't last very long. But flowers don't last very long. They soon wither away and die. And that's the thing, when we look around us, we see things that don't last forever. We think about a few things that last maybe a bit longer than a flower and they last. Maybe you might think of people. We sit around and look at all these people here. At your age, it seems like a long time. Nothing's going to change and everything is the same. But anyone who's my age or a bit older will tell you, this lasts very long. It soon goes past. People who we knew, we fade away as well. And they leave us. And that's very sad. Nothing lasts forever. I remember at YouTube sitting in church and thinking that a sermon I was listening to him was going to last forever. But it doesn't. It finishes. Runs out. Maybe we think of something that's a little bit older, and maybe something that's a little bit longer lasting. We could maybe think of this building. It's a fine building, isn't it? Fine, big, strong building. It wasn't always here, of course, something built it. It'll always be here. I don't know how long a life in these buildings. Maybe you know he's a builder. A couple hundred years, yeah? A couple hundred years for this building. Do you think that would last?
At least.
Sorry?
At least.
At least. Maybe 400 or 500 years. But if nobody looked after it, attended it, eventually it would be a big pack of stones that would be gone. Nothing left. See, nothing ever lasts forever.
What have I got here? Can anyone see this? It's not a great photo.
Can you tell me what that is? Fair enough, Shannon. Can you tell me what it is? It's a tree! Anybody know what type of tree it is?
I'd be very impressed if you tell me because I didn't know what I remember this morning.
Sorry?
The suggested tree, well, I'll tell you that this tree is a bristlebone pine. And they grow in California. And is there any idea how old this tree might be? I'm going to hazard a guess. Yeah? It looks like it's dead, but I love that you can see it's flat in my photo, so it could be me. And it does look like it's dead, I'm not surprised. Because it's 5,000 years old. That's incredible. Parts of the Bible, the Old Testament, haven't been written when this thing was a sapling. 5,000 years has lasted. But, as you're saying, it looks like it's dead. And it's fading away and it's wearing out. It doesn't last forever.
5,000 years is an awful long time, but it's not forever. If we go a bit further out, we've got the five sisters of Kintail standing out there, dominating the landscape. They've been there an awful long time.
I'll be there for an awful long time as well, unless the Lord comes back. Or till the Lord comes back, I should say. But I'm reliably told they're not as big as they used to be. The frost and the snow and the wind and the rain are all wearing them away, very, very slowly. We won't see much of it in our lifetime, we won't notice it. But they're not as big as they were. And in another 1 year, even less. And eventually, if it all runs down, they will be gone. Nothing lasts forever. But strangely, from our reading today, it tells us that there is something that lasts forever. Something that's in this very room. Something that's in my very hand. And I don't mean this actual paper Bible of the words printed on it, but the Word of God lasts forever. It never ends. There's no end. We can't really imagine something not being an end because we're so used to time, but God goes on and on and on and on. And His Word goes on and on. That's why it's so important. It's the most important thing in your lives to know God's Word and through it to know God in a relationship with Jesus. Because if we do that, if we commit to following Jesus, if we follow Him and keep His Word, then He tells us that we will go to be with Him forever and ever. The place that Bible calls Him, which is a wonderful place. So remember that. Lots of things you see around, very important, and good, nothing wrong with any of them just because they're running out, but it doesn't last forever. Only God and His Word lasts forever. That's why we do this. That's why we have church on Sunday. That's why we tell you about God, because it's the most important thing you'll ever hear, because it lasts forever and ever. Remember, it's important to read your Bibles, it's important to know God, it's important, more than important, to know Him through Jesus, know Jesus as your Savior. So just remember, everything passes away, everything has a time, but God and His Word has said that we can be with Him forever and ever by knowing Him through Jesus Christ. Thank you guys for listening.
A short time of prayer. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank You that You have given us Your Word. You have given us Your perfect and eternal Word to bless us, to instruct us, to encourage us, and to save us, Lord. What blessings You have rained upon us, and we return them in praise, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for all Your blessings to us. We thank You for these young people who are with us today, the children who are with us today. Bless them, Lord, to grow up to be strong warriors for You, Lord Jesus. We pray for the Sunday school as they leave, that it would be a real blessing to them, that they would be blessed by that time together, learn more about You and have a great time. So, Lord, we thank You for our young people. We commit them into Your hands. And we commit their teaching and their instruction to Your hands. And we thank You that we have Your Word that keeps us and keeps them for eternity with You. If we obey, we repent and we serve and say and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayers. In Your name, Lord Jesus, amen. We're going to sing together in Psalm 103 from the Scottish Psalter. That can be found on page 370 of the book. And as we sing, the young folk will leave us. And so we'll sing together Psalm 103. You start at verse 13, it is. 13 down to the verse mark 19. Such pity as a father hath unto his children dear, like pity shows the Lord for such who worship Him in fear. So we'll sing that together. We'll stand to sing that together. Psalm 103.
Such pain.
Let us once again bow our heads, our hearts, and join together in prayer. Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That you never change. That we, like flowers of the field, we grow up quickly in your sight. We soon pass away, but your word endures forever. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your presence with us as your gathered church today, Lord, that lifts us, lifts our spirits in a way that we cannot explain. As we joy in the presence of your Spirit as your gathered church, as your word challenges our hearts, as it encourages and comforts us, we thank you that you are a God who loves, a God who cares, a God who forgives. And Lord, we confess that we are in need of forgiveness. We have fallen short of your glory, both in what we have done and what we have not done. We have done things that you have not commanded, and we have not done things you have. And Lord, we confess that we did these things willfully in your sight. Lord, they have broken us. Lord, they have damaged us, and they have caused hurt to ourselves, and they have caused hurt to others. They have broken and damaged the relationship between us and between you. We confess these things in our heart, Lord, because we know them to be true. But yet, your word instructs us to come before you in supplication, in humility and in repentance, and confess these sins before you, the living, holy, perfect God. And we can only do that, Lord, because you, Lord Jesus, have paid the price for our sin. You have allowed us to come into the presence of the Holy Father. Only through your righteousness do we have any righteousness at all. And you tell us, Lord, that when we confess our sins, you remove them for us. You forgive us. We are cleansed. We are renewed. We are made as if it had never happened. Because you are a forgiving God. You hold no record. You choose to hold no record of our sin against us. Because when you look at us, you look on your beloved Son who covers us. Lord, what wonder are in these promises. What freedom are in these promises. And we give you the thanks and we give you the glory. Because it is all of you. Our salvation is all of you. Thankfully, it is not dependent on us. It is dependent on you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, as we raise ourselves up and you raise us up, as we are raised up by you, Lord, we praise you and we give you the thanks and we come before you with the duty and the privilege of making supplication for others. Lord, we bring before you our Queen and our country today. We thank you for our Queen and for her faith. And we ask you to bless and guide her in her declining years as she rules over us, as she has done for so long. We pray for our governments in Westminster and in Holyrood. Lord, we sometimes find it hard to pray for the governments when we hear what is going on. But Lord, you have appointed them. They are God appointed. So we pray for them. We pray for our leaders that you would intervene in their lives, that you would speak to them. For those in power who govern over us, that they would choose your ways remember the Christian heritage that this country and our systems of government and justice were built on, and return to you, the giver of all good things, the only true and righteous judge, the only king, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the governor of all the lands, that they would rule and govern under you and by your word. Lord, we pray for these things. We know that the country has not turned back to you, but yet we pray for your mercy and your deliverance, and that your salvation would be set loose in the corridors of power, and our country transformed, and the world transformed. Lord, we pray for our church, for all the churches in the area, as the word of God is going out this morning and this evening. We pray for it, that it would go out with the power of the Holy Spirit behind it, that it would be heard by ears and hearts that are ready to be challenged, that are ready to grow, to be closer to you, and that it would return to you with all the praise and all the glory and all the interest, and you would receive all the praise, our Father and our Saviour. So we praise you, Lord. We beseech you for mercy. We beseech you for mercy in the church, Lord. We would see it grow. Forgive us where we have gone the wrong way. Steer us, Lord, by your word and by your Spirit, to do what you are calling us to do and to obey what you are calling us to do, to be yours, to be faithful servants of your word, and winsome ambassadors of your message of hope and peace to our communities around. We pray, Lord, we pray mercy for the lost. Lord, the lost's future is terrible if they do not repent and return. Those we love, those we know, those we rub shoulders with every day, Lord, we cry out to you for mercy. We cry out to you to open hearts and ears, minds, to the glorious wonder of your salvation. Oh Lord, that people would hear. Oh Lord, that they would repent. Oh Lord, they would turn to you. And oh Lord, that you would have all the praise and all the glory. Lord, these things we pray as your church. Guide us and help us this week as we serve you. And we ask all these things, Lord, in your name, your precious name, Lord Jesus, and for your sake. Amen. Very remiss of me before we started, I think I was sort of nervous of what I was going to say, to not welcome Stevie among us today. Stevie, it is lovely to have you with us today preaching for us. We're just so grateful to hear the word that the Lord has laid on your heart. So I'm going to hand over to you now, and you'll take the rest of the service. So thank you for coming. We're really looking forward to hearing you.
Thank you, bro.
Can you somewhere?
There was a day I would have worn a mask and I would have been doing something else with it. Would you believe that? God, in his mercy, is asking us to protect ourselves, and we abide by what he puts through our governing authorities, which we don't like at times. But hey, hell, it's not about us, is it? It's about protecting each other. Father, I thank you for this time that you set apart, that God, you've gathered us here today. And God, would you just silence our hearts? And by your Holy Spirit, speak comfort and release. Father, I ask this according to your will, your plan, and your purpose for our lives here today. And God, you know all my weaknesses. God, I surrender them to you. Use me for your glory, God, to encourage and edify and build up. In Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen. Amen. I'm really blessed to be with you this morning. And when I was asked, I was really sad to hear of Pastor Ken being in contact with the COVID. I really hope he's recovering and feeling a fresh breath from heaven as well. And maybe his time out has been ordained by God as well to maybe receive a bit more and be in God's presence. Rather than giving all the time, maybe he's receiving what he needs for what lies ahead. I've chosen this scripture. This was a scripture that came to me. And Colin very intently asked, Stevie, what are you going to speak on? Probably a couple of hours after he asked me to speak. And I says, if you be patient, I'll get back to you. And I did, a day and a half later or so. And this really came to me in the book of Isaiah. Now, when we look into the Old Testament is reflection to the new. It's a fulfillment in the new that Jesus Christ has given us to live by. Now, when these prophets spoke, they spoke, why? Because they heard first from heaven. They heard what God was saying, and then they took it to the people. And when I started looking into this Isaiah 40, I just began to really get excited about it, because in these days there's so much in this few verses that that you and I, and maybe even people in our communities and our families, that are struggling in these days. There's been a tidal wave of emotions, mental health struggles this last 18 months to 2 years nearly of this COVID pandemic. Isaiah 40 verses 1-11. Comfort, O comfort my people. These are God's ancient words to his people, spoken through the prophet Isaiah in the 6th century before Christ. Their relevance and timeliness, however, are not lost on us today. It's not lost. It is not hard to find people in discomfort. Life's in exile and a world in turmoil. God's words ring true in every age, place and life, because exile happens in every age, place and life. Now we look at this here. Isaiah was a man of God that was raised up for a purpose. And we can look at him with Jeremiah, these famous prophets that we've maybe heard of in our Bible stories as children, and maybe as teens especially, hearing about these names. But people being appointed by God for purposes. And when a prophetic word was given through these prophets, it was spoken for the there and then. It was not necessarily for there and then. It was maybe for a time to come. And some of those that heard it may not have received it there and then or in their lifetime, but it was for a future generation. I want to bring it into the context of today, that God is desiring to speak comfort to his people, the church, you and I, of these troubled times that we've been living in. In what ways are you living as a displaced person? What parts of your life feel as if they've been uprooted or disconnected? What is your displacement? This word says, comfort, O comfort my people. These are God's words to displaced people. Isaiah first spoke these words to people exiled in Babylon. People whose lives had been uprooted. Those same words came to the displaced people of God today. There's many folks we have been able to engage now with the body, open the doors of the church again and begin to, how are you? How have you been? And there is a sense of people have been feeling that displaced, away from the body, isolation. I don't know about you, I've been blessed, my wife and 3 children. I had my father staying with us the last 14 months of his life there before he departed to glory in January. And but we were blessed to have people with us. But there's so many folks been living alone, struggling, feeling displaced, rejected, isolated. That's the kind of imagery here that God is speaking into through the prophet. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people. Those same words came to the displaced people. In some way, the prophetic word is always directed to displaced people. And we long to hear words of comfort. We come from the West Coast here, And I don't know about you, but I came from a family that there wasn't much kind of, you know, beautiful words of affirmation. And, you know, I haven't got that kind of, and I've been totally honest, I never had that kind of upbringing. And the other side of here in the Highlands, I sit with some young folk, and maybe some in the latter day St. Stephen, whoa, it was a hard time then. You know, we were dragged to church, and we had to sit, and it was, boom, and there was fire, and I'm always saying this because I've heard this. You know what I mean? I never get brought up in that environment. But words, as I said to the congregation in Kyle this morning, we can speak words of life. Or listen, we can speak words of death. Life leads on, death destroys. Life here, through this scripture, a beautiful imagery we have of somebody returning. We look at the prodigal son, we know that story, it's very well read and very well, probably even better interpreted than myself this morning or this afternoon. The prodigal son just took everything. Oh, I'm out of here and I'm going and I'm going to do what I wanted to do. But we know the story. He came to the place of revelation and understanding that in the muck and the mire and the pigs that he was scrounging food from, in a sense, he came to his senses. He came to his senses. One interpretation explains it. And the prodigal son remembered. What did he remember? The goodness of his father. And he returned. And the father describes it as, my son was lost, but he has now been found. That word lost, I'd done a study on that. And what I took from it was that lost in this terminology of the prodigal son was to do with being in the wrong place. But the son remembered that he had to go back to the father. And what happened? He was clothed in the robe, given the ring. The fatted calf was set for a feast. The beauty there. Isaiah, we can spin this around here, as Isaiah is preparing the people to come from that place that they felt lost and displaced, and not in the right place, but being brought in to that place that God had for them. Every one of us could tell a story about a time when we were in exile. Maybe even this last 18 months, if we had to sit down with a notepad and just copy some of what we could bring to each other. Your troubles, feeling alienated from life, yourself, those we love, we hadn't seen for a period in time, and felt as if, are we ever going to see them again? Some we didn't, because they've passed away. The God of comfort, as we read in Matthew 5, he says, blessed are you when you mourn, for you will be comforted. I've had some friends in my own personal life in the loss of my father at the beginning of the year. That word comfort came so real. Feeling embraced with God's presence, but standing on his promises, the eternal. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I get really, really excited of what heaven's going to be like. Who I'm going to see again. You know what I mean? What is it going to be like there? You know, some of us get these different images, and I've still got a childhood head in me at times. You know, I think it's going to be fantastic. I love dancing. I love singing, but nobody else loves singing round about me. But I can just picture heaven. Wow. Singing and dancing. Amen. With people I hadn't seen for years. And there's going to be lots of surprises there. Folks that we didn't think were going to be there. And maybe even folks that they thought would have been there. Some of us may be in exile right now. Exiles live in a foreign land, a land of guilt and regret, fear, sorrow, despair. That is never where God intended us to live. It is not our true home, but sometimes that is where we are. Thoughts words, deeds, things done and things left undone are the roads by which we came to this land of exile. And sometimes, let's get to the bare knuckles of that, sin comes in, and as a believer, sin can actually take shapes and forms that we may never ever have thought we would have journeyed into. Sometimes we intentionally choose those roads for ourselves. Other times it seems as if we have no choice. The choice has been removed from us. Folks, in the Word of God, it teaches us that no temptation has seized you. Only that which is common to man. God is faithful. And I love teaching this. He will show us a way out. And I teach this in the place of recovery with people. Literally, at times, we have to run from the temptation. Whatever shape and form temptation has took to you over this period in time, there is a way out of it. There is a way that you may have to run physically, move yourself mentally, disengage and turn to a place of repentance and saying, God, I ain't partnering with that no more. I want release from it. Forgive me, Abba, which he will always show himself faithful and show us the way out. Like ancient Israel, we long to hear words of comfort. We want to know the one God, the true God, more powerful than us, coming into our situations, into our lives, and releasing us. We want someone to love us, forgive us, heal us, and take us home. Any who's ever fell in love? These are all out too serious now. Yeah. I remember it when I met my wife. I knew she was my wife, but she didn't know at that particular time. And then she says later she did, but I remember it, you know, and oh, so good spending time, isn't it? And my first date, she's not here today, so my first date I took her in the West End in Glasgow. We went and visited a couple of places and got a bite to eat and that. And then I took her for a game of pool. And I beat her 3-0. But I was showing her that I really loved her. And, you know, for her to be part of my life, that she had to allow me, and I think she did in one of the games anyway, she let me win. But sometimes that deep desire, spending love moments with people, can take different shapes and forms. And God desires that for you and I. He wants us to love him back with all our life, all our weaknesses, all the stuff that at times we cover up. Yes, I'm doing great. I'm fine, Stevie. But inside we're not. And I confess. People ask me at times, how are you doing, Steve? And I'm, aye, all right. And then other times I've got some mentors in my life, I say, I am not all right. I need prayer. I need help. I need support. I need God's healing in my life. God, through this word in Isaiah, is a God of comfort. God sends Isaiah to carry his words of comfort to Israel and to us. And I love this tendency of speak tenderly to Jerusalem. I've had the privilege of meeting some young folk here in Skye and Lochalsh, and some young folk have had, you know, some damage, and some of them through the Highland Council post that I share in, you know, working with them and just hearing their stories. I love hearing people's stories. It's just so beautiful. And especially when they're being honest. And one of the most powerful things that I've realised is words that can be spoken into young lives that they can carry throughout their adult life. Words. When we as believers, how do we speak? How do we speak about God? How do we speak about each other to others? Are we tenderly speaking good words? And even in this part here, speaking words of comfort into people's difficult situations, whether that was their background, upbringing, or maybe even their present life struggles. Sometimes God knows that life in the wilderness is very, very fragile, and we are coming through or coming out of some terminology that's coming about with this pandemic. You know, we're coming out of it, we're coming through it. Nobody knows. I mean, but we know who knows. God knows. And all he asks is that we continually look to him and hold others closely as well in their frailty and their discomfort. Sometimes exiles are holding on by a thread, literally holding on. Have you come across anyone like that recently? No. Well, my life is like that quite a lot. Meeting people that they're literally holding on by a thread. Why? Because sometimes they've been discouraged. They've been disillusioned. But here, we can bring them to that place of encouragement, inspiration, and release hope through the power of the comforting words that you and I can share. When John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance, he was echoing Isaiah's words, "It is time to come home." Repentance prepares the way of the Lord. It prepares people for the way home. Church, followers of Christ, are we preparing people to come home to Jesus, to meet with him through our life and life choices, and leading them into that place of turning away from sin, their wickedness? Let's say, through repentance, you can be released into a new life, a new beginning. And like the prodigal, when he walked to the Father actually ran to him. And are people going to experience that acceptance, love, and assurance that they will be unconditionally loved by us? God's promise is that the mountains will be made low, the valleys will be lifted up, and the rough and uneven ground will be made level. The way will be prepared. This is not so that we might get out, but so that God in Christ might come in. God doesn't take us so far on a journey. God is with us continually, every step of the way. There's probably many testimonies in here today of life struggles that you've come through, what you're coming through as well, and going through. That is one of the greatest encouragements, I think, about the church. If we truly get to know each other, we should know each other's struggles. We should know each other's inspiration. That what I've come through, we can go through whatever you're going through and help each other. A king is coming to restore and reveal. Verses 3 to 5. And I was sharing this earlier that Prince Charles was in Portree a couple of weeks ago. I mean, you see, Prince Charles is possibly the future king of the UK here. And there's a story here about Prince William and Kate. They had just visited the park in Prince Edward Island. And the council or the province there had paved the roads that they used. Sometimes when royalties come into an area, it's as if the communities step up, don't they? You know what I mean? And railings start getting painted that have been lying all rusty for months and months. Or in our case here in the Scottish Highlands and Islands, is that, you know, the roads which are littered with potholes and suspension after suspension and ball joints and all sorts of stuff is getting done on our vehicles. But when there's a royalty coming near the area, what happens is, let's get the roads nice and plain and worked out that, you know, when their king comes, or the future king comes in this case, with Charles, you know, at the end of the day, it seems as if people step up. Are you and I stepping up? Are we stepping up for the King Jesus? Isaiah was preparing the way here. John the Baptist was the fulfillment of proclaiming that fulfillment of Christ coming. So that means we have Christ. Are we stepping up? Are we willing to be the people that can help people find that path from their rough raggedness into a path that may be a bit smoother and being led to Christ? I don't know how long I was given, but I'm sure Colin says 2.5 hours, so I hope he's okay with that. A second point here, God's word, as Colin mentioned earlier, God's word won't fail you or I. In my father's passing at the beginning of the year, I held his hand and I asked him to go. It was one of the most beautiful, powerful moments of my young Christian life, and I know not everybody gets that privilege. I was terrified, I'm going to be honest. Yet I was comforted. Why? Because of God's word. This life is all but a fleeting glimpse. Gone. Yeah, like that flower Colin held up. It's got a tendency of how many months, if it has that. We've got years, how many years God may spare us. Yes, God's word will never fail us. In my father's passing, the word God gave me was that I'll see him again in eternity. One of the most beautiful thoughts and promises that I believe God gave us. Here's the problem with us. We're very unreliable. Isaiah emphasises how temporary we all are, even if we're good, which we're not. We're not around long enough to bring about real change. You can't count on people. Have you ever been let down? Have you? I hope you've all been honest now. Yeah? We all have. Have you been part of that let down to somebody else? I'll put my hands up high to that. We can't really be reliable. But listen, everything fades. Everything is temporary. But the word of God is eternal. And his promises are what we can rest in and be assured in, that in his promises he'll bring them to fulfillment. Isaiah was prophesying the coming of the King, Jesus. How did he do that? He spoke it, and then it was written. As it was spoken, it was for the future of the Christ to come. Jesus came in as that infant, but he left fully grown, fully man, yet fully God. And in the power of his resurrection, you and I are standing in those promises this day. Your trouble, your displacement, whatever has been, yeah, maybe between you and God in these days, in Christ, it can be removed and we can be put in the right place again. The third one here, this news is for you. What's interesting about Isaiah is that he zooms out and shows the worldwide impact of the arrival of this king. Verse 5 says, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh," listen, "all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." This isn't just news for Israel back then, it's news for the whole world. And I love sharing my faith. I love sharing what Jesus has done for somebody. And I know that isn't it's not easy for everybody. But do you know something? You may have the words from God to speak into people's lives. When was the last time, church, that we prayed for somebody and asked them, "Can I pray for you?" Right here, right now. I remember I get challenged that as a young Christian. And I was like, "Oh, I haven't done that." And before you knew it, anybody I spoke to in the streets, in the Bonnie Banks of Glasgow, I prayed for everybody. Why? Because it helped me overcome my fear. And it helped me proclaim truth into people's circumstances and people's lives. This news that we have received isn't just for us. It's for this world. And especially in this time in history, I believe this world is at, they're at their knees. There's people in our communities terrified about coming out. There's people in our communities that are probably thinking, I've not got long to go. May God give you the ears to hear and the eyes to see where people are at. Why? Because we've got this good news. We've got this news that we can share with them. And may His Spirit lead you and I into that place that we can be used in those areas. I get excited with the scriptures because it's life, not just to myself, but it's life to others. My prayer today is, anything that I've spoken that isn't life to you would fall to the earth, it would fade and have no impact in your life. But all that's been spoken has maybe come from the Father to comfort you, to release you, to go with this good news. May you take courage in that. Not because this Glaswegian said it, but because the Father said it. Therefore, we have strength to go with it. Lord God Almighty, I thank you for your people. I thank you, God, for the way that we do look to the King who came to restore and reveal Jesus. God, thank you for your word that will never, ever fail our lives and those lives that you may take us to. Lord, we have the good news. Help us to go and share that good news. And help us, Lord, like this word, to comfort, not to judge, not to condemn, but God, to comfort and speak tenderly of your love for them. And Father, I thank you that you're our great shepherd. We look to you. Lead us on, God. Each and every one of us, wherever we are. God, there's maybe trouble in some lives here today. God, in your mercy, thank you for your word that comforts. Comfort the needy here. Wherever they're at, Lord, even mental, God, I ask for healing and the mental state here that people have been distracted. And I pray, Lord, for the healing touch of truth that's given by your word and your Holy Spirit. Let that minister and heal. And may you take the glory for that, God. And Lord, there's maybe hearts in here that have, like that prodigal, ran off in their own ways. They've maybe had too much time on their own. God, thank you. You're the God of comfort. You're the God that we can remember and run back to, because you're running towards us. You love us. You care for us. You have a passionate love towards us, found in your Son Jesus Christ. God, if there's a prodigal in here, male or female, may they be led straight back into your presence. And Holy Spirit, thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, Colin, I thank you so much, Colin, for the... I think I've lost now, but that last one is about here somewhere, isn't it? There it is. Good man. Thank you, brother. Your last psalm here, as we sing the psalm, Triumphant Sounds of Joy We Sound, page 156. And what verse? 15.
Yep.
Is that right? 15?
Yep.
To 24.
Sing Psalms 118.
Psalm 118. Triumphant shouts of joy resound in places where the righteous dwell. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. His mighty hand does all things well. Let's stand.
Triumphant sounds of joy. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. To him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.